because you were broken. You were born broken. Then you chose to continue to be broken in sin, and well, couldn't nobody fix you but him. And I'm a living proof that he takes things the devil got his hands on and tried to destroy and make a mockery of the Lord in doing so. And the Lord put this verse on my heart at the beginning of the service, and I'm just going to read it to you. I'm not going to preach on it, but I do want to read it to you. And it's sort of on the opposite end of the spirit of the service and what's been being sang about. And the devil wants to break you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to mess your life up and steal your joy and your home, your children. That's his goal. We cannot afford to give. The Bible says, "Neither give place to the devil." We cannot afford to give place to him. He is very good at messing things up and breaking things. I don't let children of mine get around things. Certain things, I'm not going to let them get around, because they will break it and they'll tear it up and mess it up. And our life and our home our church is areas that we do not need to allow the devil room. The words, "neither give place to the devil." We cannot afford that. he don't always come with a beer can. That may tempt some of you. It may be a stronghold for some of you, alcohol, and it is wicked. I'll say that flat-footed and boldly. It's a mocker. It's wicked. But these others in here, you don't have any temptation to drink a beer or drink a shot of liquor. And so it ain't a big deal for you, or it is for other people. But your weakness or mine could be people sitting right here at church with you today. And I wouldn't dare go into any detail and embarrass anybody, but today I was made aware that the devil had used me in somebody else's life as ammunition, as a tool to attack their mind. And I had no idea. I had no idea. And so I tried to resolve that and fix that today, and I will continue doing that. But anytime when the Lord brings it to light and brings it to your attention that there's room and there's space that you've allowed, it don't matter how dirty and bad it is, if it's a place where he can get standing ground to launch, then I want to remove that. I don't want to give him place, period, because I know what he can do. He will destroy friendships. He will destroy, anything he can. And so if I know, Paul said, if it offends my brother to eat meat, I won't eat meat. That's a big statement for us. For me, that's a huge statement. I'm not a vegetarian at all. And we read that in the Bible just move on. But he was sincere that if he was going to become a stumbling block, and if he was going to create a place for other people to stumble. Eating meat wasn't a sin. The Lord had cleansed that and blessed it and said it was okay to do that. Thank the Lord. But Paul was willing to go a step above and beyond and say, even if it's not sinful, even if it's not going to bring shame to the name of the Lord, if it's going to offend my brother, if it's going to cause people to stumble and fall, then I will not eat it in their presence. Boy, what a mindset. My mentality is usually, well, if it ain't sin, if it ain't wrong, then who cares what it thinks? Well, I think we'd have more of the mind of Christ and be a better Christian if we took that mentality. I don't want to do anything to cause you to stumble. I don't. And all that had to deal with, the Jews and how the law and there were a whole lot of people who believed a whole lot of different things. And when the Lord came, everything changed. And even good people was getting mixed up in trying to do good. And it was causing other people to stumble. And let me read you these couple of verses and just listen. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Listen, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I've preached from here. I've preached several times from that text. You did run well. Who did hinder you? I want to say this as gracefully and graciously as I can. I have failed. I just told you to a brother in Christ, a friend in Christ. I have failed in a friendship, just not paying attention enough, not seeing needs enough. As a pastor and a friend, I've apologized for that. And I want to be better. I want to do better. I do. I mean that. But with my children in my own home, I want to be a better husband. I do not want to be a stumbling block to my wife. If I can, I'm not sinless or above fault at all. I do every day, and I fail her every day. With my children, I do not want to give place to the devil, and I do not want to become a stumbling block to them, and say, well, Daddy does it, or Daddy, and cause doubt in their mind, and for them to look at me and say, Daddy used to be this way, and Daddy used to go this way, and he used to tell us we could do this, and now you did run well. Who did hinder you? I don't want my children to have run well and me be the answer in that verse. Who in that verse? Who hindered you from running? My daddy. I was serving Jesus, and I was trying, and I saw my daddy be one thing at church and be another thing at home. I saw my husband be one thing at church and around Christian people and be another thing at home. I do not want to hinder my children from serving the Lord. I mean that. God forbid that I stand and preach the Word of God and be a hypocrite in my home. God forbid I be forget preaching. God forbid I be a Christian and name the name of Christ and live a double life to my children and my wife and cause them to veer and to hinder them. I started with me, but I am absolutely turning it to you. Please think about how you're living. We get one shot at raising our children. One shot. And I plead with you. There's some daddies in this room that I'm so burdened over. And I hadn't spoke to you. I hadn't said a word publicly or privately about you. But the Lord knows where you are. And you are being such a hindrance to your children. And you're going to cause them to stumble. And you're going to wish to God one day that you'd have listened and you'd have backed up and you'd have done business with God. I plead with you. This is not planned, had no intentions, but the Lord put it on my heart, heavy, heavy. Don't, please, please don't take this lightly. Don't be the who. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Don't be the person that hinders your family for living for God. Don't give your child a reason to rebel. God help us with that. That is short, but that is absolutely exactly what God wanted said tonight. That is short enough that I hope every daddy in here. You say, why are you leaving the women and the wives out? They got fault. Oh, sure they do. And ladies, you can't. Mothers, you can. Wives, you can't be this person. But you know what I'm praying for, and sincerely, starting in me, we need our homes strengthened. And that don't start with the wife. God has an order, and God wants some husbands to step up and some fathers to step up and be a man. It ain't manly to do some of the things we've done. It ain't manly. It ain't manly. You want me to tell you what's manly? It's being godly. That's manly. That's the most manly thing you can do for your child, and I can do for my child, is to serve God wholeheartedly. And not be the who that hindered them. And I can almost promise you, they may be one out of 100 wives that if they had a husband that served God wholeheartedly and loved them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, maybe once every blue moon they might be a Jezebel that wouldn't fall in and follow him and serve and raise their children. Starts with fathers in the home and husbands in the home that'll step up and say, I've been living childish, I've been being selfish, I've been living for me at their expense. I do not want my children paying my price. God forbid. Please take that to heart. Lord's speaking that to me, and I hope you're hearing it. I hope you're hearing it. I've wanted to come to some of you as your pastor and as a brother in Christ and say, listen, things are happening, things are leaking out that you have no idea are dripping. You try to hold that sin up and keep it all hidden together. Be sure your sins will find you out. And the sad part is it drips on your children first. It defiles them and they see it. Oh, our children see us for who we are. Yeah, not what we say, not who we say we are or how we say we live. They see us for who we are. And boy, you can fake the preacher out and you can fake the church out, but you don't fake God out. And I promise you, your child has a better meter on your spirituality than about anybody you know. They see through it. And we're either ruining them or we're helping them to stay on course. Don't be the who that hindered your child. That's the message I have tonight. I mean it. God means it. Amen. We're going to have 2 5-minute messages tonight. I come tonight to take the night off for my birthday. I did. I know I started a message this morning, and I didn't get to finish it. And I didn't just come plan to take the night off. But providentially, the Lord allowed things to happen today. I couldn't pray all day. I take it serious. The Bible says, if a brother have an ought with you, you haven't. I take that. So if I know there's a problem, I get down to pray, all I can see is that person between me and the Lord. And so all day long, I said, Lord, how in the world am I going to preach tonight? And I can't even pray. It's hard to preach if you can't pray. I could care less about getting up and just saying words to you and wasting my time or yours. If it ain't from the Lord, I'll just dismiss and we'll go home. I mean it. And so finally, after trying to contact this person, finally the Lord arranged it to where we could talk and get some things straightened out. So I was able to pick up my prayer life about 5:45 this afternoon. And so I made plans, and I texted a few of these preachers. I said, hey, y'all better have something ready tonight. And they did. They ready. I'm hesitant about even moving on in the service. I feel like I need to give an invitation from the verse I've read. It does not have to be an hour-long message to be a message. And I can't get away from that. I'm going to stand before the Lord with tonight's service and give an account. But so are you. You will stand before the Lord for what you've heard. God went out of his way tonight to speak to somebody. Out of his way. And that's gracious of God to do that. We could have just went on, and God didn't have to send out a warning. He don't have to do that. I hate speed limits. I don't like them. I don't like even the reminders when I ride by and say 55. That's just a restriction on me. I hate that. I feel like if I don't see it, out of sight, out of mind, you know. But you know what? It's actually a gracious thing for those reminders to be there. When it goes from 55 down to 35, it could save you a whole lot of money for that sign being there and triggering your brain and say, hey, I better check that. I better check my foot. The Lord sent just a flashing sign to you tonight. Don't be the who that hinders your children. I need to get in the altar myself. Over that, I'm burdened. I still have children that are not saved by their own testimony. I have children that are saved. I have some that have not been saved. And I do not want to hinder my children from going to heaven. That is too high of a cost for me to be willing to pay. You say, well, my children's grown. You still are. You can still and are still an influence in their life. They still looking at you. And your grandchildren are looking at you. So please, please, Lord help us. Lord help me. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We don't need a piano playing. But I know there's been people in the altar already. But if you're a father, that's who the Lord put on my heart. If you're a father, if you're a mother, you're welcome to come. But if you're a father, I want you to take that verse and ask yourself the question, have you become the who that's hindering your child? Amen.